fine jewelry.
You are now listening to Breaking Rank, brought to you by the Balance Sports Radio Network and Indiana Talks. Join host Tom Marquez, co-host Rick Riggin, Jordan the Intern Malley, Mo from the BS Sports Show, and the essential Matt Poling for a breakdown of this week's college rankings. Call us right now at 260-355-5151. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. Follow us on Twitter at BrankingRank1 or T-Balance for breaking news, scores, stats, standings, and highlights. Now here's your host of tonight's Breaking Rank, El Presidente Tom Marquez.
All right, I guess that's my cue. I feel like I'm coming in on the WWE, but I'm actually coming in on Indiana Talks right after some progressive talk. So maybe it is WWE. My name is Tom Marquez, El Presidente. You know me, the host of The Balance every Saturday morning on the Balance Radio Network, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and right here on Indiana Talks, 10 p.m. To midnight. And that's going to be changing after the first of the year. We'll be joining you live right here on Indiana Talks. But this is Breaking Ranks with myself, that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, and Jordan the Intern. And that's all we got tonight. Typically, we have Mo from the BS Sports Show and the Essential Matt Poling, but I think the holidays has got them tied up. And I know Matt had some car issues to deal with. But joining us, though, without further ado, is my faithful co-host and the guy who has seen the new Star Wars movie and would not give up any spoilers. But he did tell me that the one way to get him under the mistletoe is to offer him a shot of Jaeger and a McRib sandwich and the pants come down. Mr. Rick Riggin, how are you, sir?
That's funny. And another Tuesday night. Good evening, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Mr. Jordan, the intern, and we did a spontaneous podcast, which you could download on the Balance podcast stream. Just go to iTunes and hit the Balance and hit subscribe. It's that easy. And, you know, two guys off of work, we decided to go ahead and record a podcast. And Jordan, the intern, was going to join us, but he said he got tied up into some last-minute Christmas shopping. So did everything work out okay? I know you're up there in the region doing some Christmas shopping. Jordan, the intern, how are you, sir?
I am doing great, guys. Yeah, I got caught up doing some Christmas shopping today. I mean, you know, nothing like waiting till the last minute to give people some gifts, you know what I mean? But give me a little credit because I am in college and we did not finish finals till Thursday or Friday of this past week, so had to get my Christmas shopping, wanted to get out there before Christmas Eve and even tomorrow, the last 2 days to shop. So
there you go, last 2 days to shop. And you know what? On some sites, you can actually order all the way up until today or tomorrow and get something here on time for Christmas. Well, guys, it's Breaking Rank, and we're going to talk. We're going to feature a bowl game here in the first half. The second half, we're going to talk about some other games. Certainly, if you want to give us a call, we'd love to talk with you in detail. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show, and so certainly give us a call. We're going to dive into this, guys. The Chick-fil-A Bowl, also known as the Peach Bowl, one of the oldest bowls around. I've been around since 1968 to 2005, and then 2006, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, which is still the Peach Bowl, took over, and of course the Peach Bowl again in 2014. So it's the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. There's been 48 games, 1968 to 2015, and 1968 is a pretty good year because that's the year I was born. So we're going to talk about Florida State and Houston. A good matchup. We're going to talk about that matchup. And believe it or not, Florida State was in the very first Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, that is. It was Florida State, Louisiana State. Louisiana State won that game 31 to 27. And last year, Florida State was in it as well. No, this year, I'm sorry, Florida State is in it this year. Of course, last year we know Florida State was in the playoffs. So let's kind of go around the clock and get an introduction to these two teams here, and then we'll get right into the conversation. Riggin, that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, help us get to know Florida State Seminoles and the Houston Cougars.
Well, as you know, Florida State received Everett Golson from Notre Dame over this past offseason. Everett Golson transferring to Florida State was going to be the starter, but hasn't been the case here the last few games. It's been Sean McGuire. But this game is going to feature, you know, the battle of the good coaching minds of Jimbo Fisher, Florida State, and Tom Herman of Houston. And for me personally, if we could talk about coaching changes, I'm shocked that Tom Herman didn't take the job at Virginia Tech.
Well, I think, you know, and that's a very good point you make up. But I think Herman knows that he's got a good program down there in Houston. And let's face it, I mean, he put Houston on the map, Jordan, the intern.
Yeah, this Houston Cougars team, I think, is being underestimated by a lot of Florida State fans and people that follow the team. This is going to set to be a pretty great matchup, especially for the Peach Bowl in years past with Florida State and all their history. I mean, they've been ranked in the top 10 to finish the season. In the last 25 years, they've been ranked 14 different times. So the history is definitely there for Florida State, but definitely don't underestimate this Houston Cougars team because they are very, very talented as well.
Well, Jordan, I know that you're used to hearing the word Cougar in a different context, but the Houston the Houston Cougars are definitely a team and a very worthy opponent. Certainly, New Year's Eve. And here's the thing: I mean, maybe you're going out on New Year's Eve, or maybe you've got a significant other that says you're going to stay home on New Year's Eve and watch football. You say, "No, honey, this game comes on at noon." 260-355-5151 is our digits if you want to call in and talk about the Peach Bowl or talk about some college football. We're all ears to you. Certainly, again, like I said, this is going to be a great matchup between Jimbo Fisher and Tom Herman. But obviously they've got a great running back as well. Greg Ward Jr. will get into that conversation, and it's going to be on New Year's Eve. So let's talk a little bit about in Houston. It's going to be the visiting team, and Florida State's going to be the home team in this particular matchup down in Atlanta. And certainly it's in a dome. It's where the Falcons play. It's going to be a loud venue. One of the things questions I have, guys, let's kind of go around the clock here and just have a few questions about Houston and about Florida State and this matchup. I mean, really, what kind of a motive? If you were talking about Coach Herman, if you were Coach Herman, Rick, and you had the guys in the locker room getting them ready for this game, what would you be telling your players about Florida State and certainly about how to get ready for a team of the caliber of the Florida State Seminoles?
Yeah, that'd be easy. You know, if you want to talk about getting motivated against a big-time college football program, Florida State's the one to do it. It's like getting ready for Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State. You know, these big boys, definitely, if you're Houston, that would be enough motivation right there to see how your team stacks up against a great program like Florida State. So it's going to be interesting to see this game. And I actually think Houston, I agree with Jordan, I think Houston's got a really, really good chance in this game.
Well, and I agree with you. And again, I think that's exactly one of the reasons why Coach Herman decided to stay right where he's at, because he's building a great program. If you're Coach Herman, Jordan, the intern, and you're in the locker room and you're doing these bowl practices and you're watching tape, what are you telling your players about Florida State and how to prepare for them and how to have the right mindset?
Yeah, I think the first thing you start with is the running game that Florida State has. I mean, they do have a very fantastic running back in Dalvin Cook. I mean, only a sophomore out of Miami, and this guy, boy, can this guy run the ball. Over 1,500 yards rushing, and he's going to be the guy to stop, because you look and what many people thought was going to be the X factor in this game being Everett Golson. He's not even starting anymore. It's going to be Sean McGuire. So I think you limit Dalvin Cook and what he can do on the offensive side of the ball and stop those big runs from happening. And I think Houston's got a really good shot to win this game.
Great segue on the quarterback controversy, if you will. I mean, I don't know if it's really a controversy, because certainly they're both very high caliber quarterbacks. And Rick, you mentioned this, that he left Notre Dame to go to Florida State. How good of a quarterback is Golson? But now, you know, they're going to be having the starting quarterback with McGuire, and I think a lot of that had to do with injuries, and McGuire actually just came out and earned his job. I mean, that's really what it amounts to. Not that he's a much better quarterback, but he earned his job as the starting quarterback at the Peach Bowl this year.
Yeah, and really, it started last year with him when Jameis Winston had to sit out and got suspended for that one game, and Sean McGuire came in and beat Clemson. That's really where the country got to know Sean McGuire. And then this year, you know, he works his tail off, and Golson doesn't do anything. He doesn't do much of anything to get the offense going at Florida State, and Sean McGuire comes in and gives them the lift that they need.
Jordan, the intern, let's talk about these two quarterbacks that, like I said, not really a quarterback controversy. One just earned the job, and we talked about Jameson Winston last year with Florida State, and Jimbo Fisher certainly left a lot of bad taste in people's mouth in the way that he handled that situation anyway. Do you think that he's... made the right decision? Maybe that's the better question here. Did Jimbo Fisher make the right decision in starting McGuire? In my opinion, McGuire's earned his job as the starting quarterback.
100%. I completely agree with you. Everett Colson, he had his shot and his opportunity when he transferred from Notre Dame to go to Florida State. I think you might lose out on a little bit of the experience in Colson's case. But Sean McGuire's he's the guy that they've gone to. He's been with this program since he was a freshman. He sat behind the likes of a guy like Jameis Winston for a season, and he was able to learn from that type of experience. And I think there's no better shot for Sean McGuire than to be put on a stage in such like the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. So you put the two quarterbacks next to each other and you compare them. I know that Colson got demoted when he was after they lost that game to number one Clemson. But Sean McGuire, I think this is his opportunity to show everyone across the country that he is the man for this job, and this Florida State team isn't going anywhere.
Well, and they're absolutely not. And you know, here's the thing. When we talk about Florida State, Rick Riggin, my name is Saul Mark Wassell, Presidente, host of The Balance, and certainly host of this great show we call Breaking Rink. We do every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. live on Indiana Talks, and of course, Eastern time. If you're on Central time like Rick is, it's really an hour behind. But that one radio, Rick Riggin and Jordan the intern, talking about the Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, known as the Peach Bowl. And we talk about the culture with Florida State. I mean, I think in a lot of ways that culture in Jimbo Fisher has really built a good culture. And certainly this is another milestone for Florida State in being in their fourth consecutive year and being a major bowl. And certainly last year they weren't able to get it done in the playoffs. This is kind of a step down. But I still think that there's a culture being built down there in Tallahassee that a lot of players want to come and play for Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, you're definitely right. What people don't know about Jimbo Fisher, he's actually kind of a quarterback whisperer. I mean, Florida State, since he's been there, has been loaded with great quarterbacks. Even when he was at LSU, he turned Jamarcus Russell into an awesome quarterback in college. Of course, he went on the NFL, never heard from him again. But yeah, it's Jimbo Fisher, and he does a great job with the quarterbacks, does a great job with the offense. He's an offensive guy. And, you know, when the whole thing came out with Les Miles maybe getting fired from LSU, Jimbo Fisher was their guy to go after.
And, you know, Jimbo Fisher I like how you put that, a quarterback whisperer, because we've seen him develop some great quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think anybody knew who Jameson Winston was, maybe in certain circles, maybe in circles like us, we did. But I don't know that the average fan knew who he was. And I think that you're right that Jimbo Fisher knows how to develop young talent into good quarterbacks, certainly if he could help them control their actions off the field with Florida State. I think he would be doing a lot better. But talk with me a little bit, Jordan, about the culture down there in Tallahassee. Certainly, Florida State players have been in the news in off the field incidences involving drinking, involving the law, involving a lot of situations. So, you know, Jimbo Fisher, although he has a great control of the team on the field, I don't know that he has much control over them when they leave the field. And a good coach should have that. But at the same time, You can't argue with the result. The culture down there at Florida State is really a good culture. Again, one that recruits want to come and play for.
You look at Jimbo Fisher, any type of coach in general, and there's only so much you can do with athletes as far as what they do once they leave the facility, once they step off the field and they're done with practice for the day. You can't hold these guys' hands anymore, and these guys are 18 to 22 years old, and they're adults. They're adults in this world now, and there's only so much you can do to push them and strive them to do great things and represent your team off the field in the way that they should be. And yeah, you talk about Jameis Winston a couple years ago when Florida State ended up winning the national championship 2013. Jameis Winston was their guy, but he did have a lot of off the field issues. I mean, it goes back from a Snapchat that went viral on Instagram and Twitter to him standing in the middle of the union saying some dumb things, and people got it caught on video, or him even going to a market and stealing crab legs. So those are decisions that need to be made by the player, and I think only the coach can do so much. And Jimbo Fisher is without a doubt one of the best coaches in college football. He's had his sixth year in Florida State, and he's 68-13, a winning percentage of 840. That is pretty amazing for a coach to do that within his first 7 or 8 years in the program. So this atmosphere down in Florida State, they're 100% all in on college football, and they love their team down there. And this Peach Bowl will end up being something that they can be proud of. I think they would have liked to be in the national championship or in the college football playoff. It didn't work out that way for them, and most teams would like that. But there's only so much you can do. We can talk about plenty of other teams who have off-the-field issues, off-the-court issues, and multiple other sports in college basketball, college football, anything you want to talk about. But like you said, you can only control so much, and this Florida State team is very, very good, and their fans are full-on supporting of them.
Well, absolutely, and you know what? You know that oh too well, being down there at Indiana University at WIUX, you know that oh too well of some of the off-the-field things that can happen. Let's shift the gears a little bit, and let's talk about the Houston Cougars. I mean, certainly there, in Rick Riggin, that one radio guy at the very beginning here of the show, certainly pointed out that Houston is no joke, that they're a very, very good team. Heck, they beat teams in the ACC and the SEC and other major conferences. Here's the thing. That's got to be a confidence booster for Houston. And as well, guys, you know, they've got a guy by the name of Delvin Cook, a great running back for Houston, and is no joke. And it's certainly a multidimensional great leader on the squad. So, I mean, I think if you're Houston, you got to be pretty excited about going to Atlanta and playing Florida State in the Peach Bowl. Rick?
Yeah, definitely. Delvin Cook's a Florida State running back, though. So
I'm sorry. I did say that wrong. I apologize. Go ahead.
But the running backs, Kenny Farrell and Greg Ward Jr. Greg Ward Jr. runs for over 1,000 yards, and Kenny Farrell's at 949. So, yeah, almost 2,000-yard rushers. They're off.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rick. I was just going to say, you're right. I was referring to Craig Ward Jr. when I was talking about Delvin Cook.
Well, no worries.
go right ahead, sir.
Hey, their offense is ridiculous, and that is all Tom Herman. You know, he's Ohio State's old offensive coordinator, takes a job at Houston, did a really nice job there. I thought he would take the job at Virginia Tech. So if he's going to build Houston up, I mean, he's on the right path.
Well, let's talk about Greg Ward Jr. there, Jordan, the intern, and certainly to talk about Houston and their offense. Give us an analysis of their offense, their defense, and really talk with us about the journey that got him here to the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, talking about Greg Ward Jr., he's their leader on this team. He's a junior quarterback out of Tyler, Texas, so he's a homegrown boy. Kind of a small guy, honestly, for a quarterback, only 5'11", 178 pounds, and that's not what you usually think about when you think about a college football quarterback. But 2,590 yards, 16 touchdowns, and only 5 interceptions for the whole entire season, that is pretty amazing to me. So if they can ride the shoulders of Greg Ward Jr. on the offensive side of the ball, I think they're going to have no problem with this Florida State team. And like you said before, They beat teams in the ACC and the SEC this year, so they're no joke. And, I mean, they want people to understand that they're here for a reason. And the reason is they need that showcase game, and this is their showcase game. And the biggest light, the biggest stardom you could have is for Houston, especially for this Cougars team. And Greg Ward Jr., only being a junior, I don't know if he'll stay around for his senior season or not, or maybe he'll attempt to go to the NFL or not. But if he stays again next year, this Houston team is just going to be unreal again. For him to be able to rush for over 1,000 yards and then pass for over 1,000 yards too is pretty amazing in college football today.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left before we go to break, and certainly when we get back from break, we're going to shift gears to another bowl game. But we're talking about the Peach Bowl or the Chick-fil-A Bowl, whichever way you want to call it. It's one and the same. Rick Riggin, that one radio guy, Rick Riggin. I tell you what, is it a step down for Florida State to play in it is a step down, obviously, for them to play in the Peach Bowl as opposed to one of the playoff games as well. But I would think that, I guess maybe the better way to word this question, is it a bigger win? Is it a bigger win for Florida State to show the world on that big stage that Jordan referred to? Is it a bigger stage for Florida State to beat Houston, or the other way around? We got about 3 minutes before break, so go ahead, Rick. I know you can't fill 3 minutes anyway, so go ahead.
No, I can't. I think this game is easy for Florida State to kind of just not come out motivated. I mean, it is against Houston. Houston isn't, you know, that big-name team Florida State's used to playing against, but they better watch out against Houston. They better come, you know, playing like they just prepared for Alabama or something, because Houston could score a lot of points, and then Florida State's not careful in this game. They can lose, and they could possibly lose this game ugly. I think their game against Georgia Tech, how they, you know, lost in one of those crazy special teams plays, you know, a few other games did this year. They lost to Georgia Tech. That game there kind of just that sealed their season. At that point, Dalvin Cook was kind of not in the running, but kind of in the talks with the Heisman. And once they lost that game there, that pretty well just destroyed their season. They weren't really the same team after that one. I mean, they're a really good team this year. They weren't really a great team, but they're going to have to get up and be motivated against Houston.
Well, this is Breaking Rank. My name is Saul Marquezel Presidente, along with that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, and Jordan the intern. We've been talking about the Chick-fil-A Bowl or the Peach Bowl. That's our feature game of the night, and certainly one of the oldest games has been going around on since 1962. And the most points ever scored in that was in 2013 by Texas A&M. The fewest points was by North Carolina in 1976, and the largest margin was a plus 39 Texas Christian over Mississippi in 2014. So certainly, you know, it's going to be a great game, a great matchup between really what we would think is two really good teams. So you got the Houston Cougars and you got the Florida State Seminoles. And certainly we know Florida State. We know what they've been able to do. We know the kind of culture that's being done and provided down there in Tallahassee by Jimbo Fisher. But certainly the Houston Cougars know what they're up against. And this is going to be a huge game for them, like Jordan said, on the largest stage in the biggest part of the world. My name's Sal Marquez, El Presidente. We'll be back right after this. This on Indiana Talk Live. This is Breaking Rank.
Yeah. This house party is crazy. My crew is hella wavy. Yo, flip the cup, then say what's up, then slide out with your lady. No ifs or buts about it. My style is technotronic. Got grips and models, so spin the bottle, girl. I'm just getting started.
Get up, get up, get up.
Pump the volume, feel the bass.
Get up, get up, get up.
Turn me on and
don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number: 1-877-834-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-834-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. pause and rewind live TV, even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. 1-877-834-MYTV. 1-877-834-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-877-834-MYTV. 1-877-834-MYTV.
Ralph and Ava's Cafe and Catering, located just 15 minutes southwest of Indianapolis in Mooresville, is the only full-service caterer you need to call this holiday season. Let Ralph and Ava's take the stress off you. Ralph and Ava's will deliver, set up, tear down, clean up, and all you have to do is entertain your guests. Call Ralph and Ava's Cafe and Catering today at 317-834-9780.
This is what matters. This is beyond X's and O's. This is the difference mutual respect makes. This is what character looks like. This is what defines us in Indiana. This is sportsmanship. School sports. It's not the outcome that matters most, but the way the games are played. This message presented by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. More than 7.7 million American teenagers participate in high school sports every year, including about 152,000 here in Indiana. They're all learning essential life lessons, like the importance of hard work, time management, and self-discipline, skills that are helping them become better leaders and more active, responsible citizens. This message presented by the Indiana High School Athletic Association and the Indiana Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
This is Leslie Marshall from The Leslie Marshall Show. For weekdays live, 3 to 6 p.m. right here on IndianaTalks.com. We know we are outgunned in the Indiana media. That is why Indiana Talks also offers all your favorite progressive voices. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, and Bill Press, along with great Hoosier voices like Charlie White, Liberty Talks, Justin Oakley, Just Let Me Teach, and the T.J. Thompson Experience. Indiana Talks, it's talk radio without the Tea Party crazy.
I can't find my drumsticks, like, anywhere.
At Duke Energy, it's our job to provide electricity for all the things in your life. But we know we're powering more than just the guitars and amps of your daughter's first band. We're powering future rock stars. And those, why did I say they could practice in our garage moments.
That was totally awesome. Let's do it again.
That's why we're investing in new, innovative technology to make our systems smarter, cleaner, and just as adaptable as you are.
Hey, girls, can I join in? I do a mean, smooth jazz guitar solo.
Dad!
Or how about I just bring snacks?
Nachos!
Because at Duke Energy, we never forget that what we're delivering is more than just electricity.
When you're looking for a new home, why not seek the counsel of a friend that happens to know the Indianapolis area housing market better than the back of their hand? Doug and Morgan Lathery and Star Real Estate is a family-owned business that can answer all questions about buying or selling a home. Contact Doug and Morgan with Indy Area Homes or simply log on to IndyAreaHomes.com to find your new home today.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs.
All right, welcome back to Breaking Rank. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente, host of The Balance on the Balance Radio Network every Saturday morning, and certainly here on Indiana Talks every Saturday night, 10 p.m. To midnight. But coming after the first of the year, you guys can be excited. You don't have to stay up late anymore to hear us live here on Indiana Talks, The Balance. You'll be able to hear us live. And, you know, I was hearing that bumper music, Let It Snow. It is our Christmas episode. I mean, Christmas is just coming up on Friday, but it ain't going to snow here in Indiana. And today, believe it or not, is the first day of winter. And I live here in Indianapolis, and I think we got up to about 55 degrees. And I was out literally out on the back porch and in just basically a hoodie. And, You know, so it's not going to snow here in Indianapolis. It might snow somewhere, but it's not going to snow here, and it's certainly not going to snow at the Citrus Bowl, which is what we're going to talk about. Florida and Michigan, also known as the Tangerine Bowl, 1946 to 1982, and then it became the Citrus Bowl, 1983 to 2001. The Capital One Bowl, 2002 to 2013, and the Citrus Bowl last year. It's also known as the BW3's Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl, which makes no sense to us. I mean, but hey, if you have enough money, you can own a bowl game. So coming soon, the Breaking Rank Bowl, toilet bowl game. There's been 70 games played since 1947 to present, which will be in 2016, so they're playing next year. The first game, 1947, was on New Year's Day, Catawba College, believe it or not, against Maryville, and it was 31-0. And certainly the game that we're going to be talking about is Florida and Michigan. The most points ever scored in that game was Toledo in 1969. The fewest points was 0-4 times. And the largest margin is Alabama, plus 42, Alabama over Michigan State in 2011. All right, Rick, that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, we look at Jim Harbaugh, certainly making a leap from the NFL to the Michigan Wolverines, which is coming home to him. And obviously he's been here. He played for the Colts as well. So we know the Harbaugh family. We know them very, very well. And those that a little bit of trivia that might know that live here in Indiana, I'm sure know that. But he is also Tom Crean's brother-in-law. So Michigan against Florida, the Gators, Michigan Wolverines against the Florida Gators. Let's break this down. The Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl on New Year's Day.
Right. Yeah, I'm waiting to see if Florida can get any offense going against Michigan's defense. Michigan has played pretty good defense all year long, and I want to see what Jim McElwain, head coach of Florida, has done with Treyon Harris, giving him a month to prepare for Michigan.
Jordan, we look at where Jim Harbaugh has taken this team. I mean, in a lot of ways, a lot of people have already said that Jim Harbaugh has taken the Michigan Wolverines back to greatness. I don't know that he's proven that yet, but certainly he's proven that he could get his team to a bowl game. And although it may not be one of the major bowl games, it certainly is a notable bowl game. And the fact is, in your first year, Michigan was a wreck, to be able to get it to a bowl game, I think speaks volumes for the kind of coach that Jim Harbaugh is.
Bringing Jim Harbaugh to Michigan and being able to kind of rebalance that coaching conundrum that Michigan had, and bringing them back to what they always remember being, I think, is one of the biggest points to remember. I think a lot of people had too high of expectations for Michigan just coming off of 1 year. Give Jim Harbaugh a little bit of time looking ahead now to bring in some recruits that he can. Obviously, he's obviously a great recruiter, former NFL coach, and all of this. So he's going to be able to bring in a ton of talent. But yeah, a couple different losses that had them kind of squeamish. You look at that Michigan State game, they had that game in their hands, and that was the infamous blocked punt for a touchdown, and Michigan State ended up winning that game. But certainly, to take nothing away from Michigan, they did beat a lot of ranked teams. I mean, you look at BYU, they ended up ranked at the end of the season. You look at their win against Northwestern, 38-0. They were ranked number 13, and they did take that loss to Michigan State, which could have been a complete turnaround for this program. But and then the Ohio State loss at the end of the year, the 42-13 hit. But Michigan is going to have a great game, I think. This Florida offense, watching them play, and given that they were playing Alabama, but watching them in their last game when they played Alabama, they couldn't do anything with the ball. And that Florida quarterback, I just shake my head sometimes at him because he made such bad passes. So if Michigan can just hold on to what they're known for, and they're ranked 11th in the country in points against, which is an average of 17.2 points per game. So Michigan is very good on the defensive side of the ball. So Florida's going to have to score a lot of points, or they're going to have to be lucky and get a lot of turnovers from the Michigan team for them even to have a chance in this game.
Well, I know that Rick Riggin is definitely going to be rooting for the Michigan Wolverines. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, right. That's incorrect.
So we know that you're going to want to talk about Florida. Let's talk about Florida. You know, I think a lot of people, and certainly Florida fans, felt like that they were part of the nation's elite college football teams and college football programs, but not, I mean, just as much recently, but I don't think that they've gained that level back yet to where they can actually say that they are part of the elite when it comes to college football. You know, granted, Tim Tebow sucked as an NFL quarterback, and maybe that's just because a lot of people didn't understand him, or maybe he just was never an NFL-type caliber quarterback. But when he was with Florida, he definitely was, and certainly I think a lot of people felt at that point that Florida was back to greatness. If Florida beats Michigan in the Citrus Bowl, is this a step in the stepping stone in proving to America on the biggest stage on New Year's Day that Florida is back to being a great college football team?
Well, I think they've already taken a step in the right direction after, you know, the disaster that Will Muschamp has placed there in Gainesville the past couple of years. Jim McElwain comes in and turns his team around into a winning program there in the SEC. I think they've already taken the step in the right direction. If they beat this Michigan team, which is a whole heck of a lot better than what anybody thought would be in year one, that might put them over the hump, and then watch out for them next year.
Jordan, the intern, let's talk about Florida. Are they a team that is going to ever come back to a great college football team? Between the two, I would say that Michigan Wolverines are more on the road to becoming a great college football team, more so than Florida. What are your thoughts there, sir?
Yeah, I think that all comes down to the first hand that they have an upper hand with Jim Harbaugh. You talk about Michigan, they are definitely on the road to success. But taking a look at Florida, it's hard for me to take away anything that they did this season because they ended up number one in the East in the SEC standings, given that they weren't in the same division as Alabama, as Ole Miss, as LSU, as Arkansas, or some of these other big names. All those big names are in the West Conference. So you look at some of their wins that they did have. They beat Georgia 27-3, given Georgia didn't have their star running back at the time. They did beat number three Ole Miss at the time, right after coming off a win against Alabama there. So that was pretty prestigious for them. I think something that hurt them was their 9-7 win, that weird win that they had against Vanderbilt, and then the two consecutive losses, one to Florida State where they couldn't even score. They had a safety. That was all they scored against Florida State, 27-2, and then their pathetic performance against Alabama. I think those two losses really hurt them at the end. But I'm looking at their standings right now and their stats as a team as a whole, and they're eighth in points against in the country, and Michigan's 11th. So I think the defensive side of the ball is going to be a very, very tight-niche game, and it's just going to be a matter of who makes the less mistakes, and I guess you could say that for any type of game. But this is more for cause concern for Florida, because if they are not able to stop the Michigan offense, it's going to be a tough day. Like I said before, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible to play in a big time game such as the Citrus Bowl when you have a quarterback that's unreliable. And I really do believe that Florida's quarterback is unreliable for them, and he's showcased that in the last two games that they played.
Well, my name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This is Breaking Rink. We're live on Indiana Talks. Myself, that one radio guy, Rick Riggin, Jordan, the intern, and we're missing our two contributors, Mo from the BS Sports Show. He did text me, though, a while ago before break and said that he's stuck in a meeting and he apologizes. And certainly the Essential Map Polling is dealing with some car issues or something along that lines. But the core people or here. I don't know if we're the Apple core, but I tell you what, the balance core is definitely here. We've been talking about, certainly our feature game today was the Peach Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and we've just been talking about Florida and Michigan. Real quickly, guys, and we'll wrap this up, and then we're going to get into the pinstripe game. Obviously, IU and Duke up in the Bronx. IU is there and enjoying the scenes of New York City tonight, and certainly time to get down to business and get ready for this game. We're going to talk about that. So let's real quickly, let's talk about final thoughts. What does Michigan have to do to beat Florida? What does Florida have to do to beat Michigan? What kind of game are we going to see on New Year's Day at the Buffalo Wild Wings Citrus Bowl? That one radio guy, Rick Riggin.
Well, I think with Jake Rudock and Jake Butt and Jabril Peppers, all Michigan has to do is just beat Michigan, the Michigan team they've been all year long, and I don't think they'll have any problems with Florida. If Treon Harris can have a game in the positive direction, he's been iffy all year, but he does have big play capability. He does have the ability to keep the game close. He's had nearly a month now to prepare for Michigan. I mean, Florida's defense is really good, too. We talk about Michigan's defense being good. Florida's defense is also very good. So I can see this not being a really high-scoring game, but I do think this one will go in Michigan's favor.
Jordan, the intern, same question, I guess, is what does Florida have to do to beat Michigan? What does Michigan have to do to beat Florida? What kind of a game are we going to see on New Year's Day at the BW3's Citrus Bowl?
Yeah, I'll give you one quote, one famous quote Jim Harbaugh had this year, and Michigan should live by this. Take your vitamins. I truly believe the number one natural steroid is sleep, and the number two natural steroid is milk, whole milk, and three would be water. And he said if there was a fourth, four would be steak. I take my vitamin every day. It's called a steak. So, I mean, if you're going to go with Jim Harbaugh's analysis of what you should do to prep for a game, he should go out and buy every single one of those guys on that team a steak before they end up playing this game. But to be real here, I think Michigan just – they need to play their game. Like Rick said, play their game that they've played all season. Florida, if they want any chance in this game, they've got to do something on the offensive side of the ball, and I cannot emphasize that enough. They show what they can do on defense, and that's – fine and dandy, but Michigan is just as good on defense, and I think that's why you see an over-under at 39.5 for those bettors out there. You see why it's so low, and Michigan is the 4.5-point favorite right now going into the Citrus Bowl.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be exciting to see. And one of the great things about New Year's is the fact that if you've got a hangover or whatever, you can spend all day long watching football. And we have 40 bowl games that are going to be played over the next couple of weeks. So you're going to get your fill of football, and that's for sure. And so let's go to the next game here. Obviously, IU in the Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx. Certainly, there's been six of those played since 2010. The first game was December 30th, 2010. Syracuse beat Kansas State at 36-34. Duke also to play this Duke to play Indiana. I'm sorry, this year on the 26th. And the most points scored by Syracuse in 2012 was 38. Iowa State had the fewest points in 2011 and scored 13. And the largest margin has been a plus 24 Syracuse over West Virginia in 2012. You know, I'm excited, Jordan. We'll start with you because I know you are a student down at WIUX. I don't know why you're not in the Bronx right now, but hey, we're glad that you're here on Breaking Rinks with us. But you're a student at IU. You're a senior at IU. And you know IU athletics. You know IU football. You know IU basketball. IU has had a challenging season. They got to a bowl game by the skin of their teeth and just by the rules. In my opinion, in a lot of ways, IU does not deserve to be in a bowl game, but they are in a bowl game, and I'm glad to see them there. I hope that they're on a national stage, and you can go ahead and share with us what the over and under and what the spread is on that particular game. But, you know, again, national stage, the day after Christmas, the Pinstripe Bowl, they're in the Bronx, obviously. I believe it's at, they call it Yankee Stadium now, I believe that's what it's called. So, Jordan, the intern, what are your thoughts on this game, Indiana versus Duke in the Pinstripe Bowl?
Guys, I love the fact that we're talking about this game because it's the first time Indiana's been in a bowl game in the last 7 or 8 years, and I have to disagree with you, Tom. I really do think this Indiana team deserves to be in a bowl game. Some of the losses that they've overcome this year, you look at Ohio State, when that game was down to the last 60 to 90 seconds and they ended up losing by a touchdown. You look at the double, triple overtime game against Michigan when they were at the 2-yard line. They could have won that game. And there is a lot of what ifs. They played Iowa extremely well. The only loss that they really had that they deserved was the Penn State game and even the Michigan State game. So Indiana, to talk about their football team and to highlight some of the players that you must need to watch during this game is one, Nate Sudfeld. Nate Sudfeld has been a leader on and off the field for this team. He is the definition of a class act. You look that up in the dictionary and you look up class act or anything like that, and his name would be right there because this guy has done so much for this team. And it's really nice to see a guy like Jordan Howard, too, their running back, who's come in and taken this league, taken the Big Ten by storm. And if he hadn't gotten any of those injuries he suffered after the first 4 weeks and he had to sit out a couple games, he would be right there in the Heisman contention talks because through the first four games, he was leading the whole entire NCAA in rushing yards. And so that guy is unbelievable. We were so lucky to have him come over from UAB when UAB dismantled their football team, and now they're, of course, back up again a year later. But Jordan Howard, he's going to be a pick in the NFL draft. To take nothing away from the guards, too, that Indiana has, Dan Feeney, he's a All-American, first-team Big Ten, All-Offensive Player of the Year. So you've got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, and it's just going to come back to what they struggled all year with, and that was the defense and being able to stop the ball. I mean, you look at it, they're ranked 116th in the country in points against. They give up an average of 38 points a game. So I think they need to limit Duke's offense, and they'll be just fine. Score a ton of points like they usually do. I mean, their last four games, they scored 54, 47, and 48. So, offensively, not a worry. Defensively, just stop the ball, and we should be good to go.
Well, the woulda, coulda, shouldas with Indiana University. And, you know, again, I am glad. I'm an IU alum. I am glad to see them. I'm excited to see them in a bowl game. But, you know, I guess I still sting a little bit from that Rutgers game. You know, I still also know that, yes, they were in a close game with Ohio State, but we also know that during that game, Ohio State was not playing Ohio State football. One of the things I'm excited, though, about more than on a bigger picture than IU is the fact that the Big Ten is really starting to come around and what I think get noticed for football for our team other than Ohio State. And certainly, you know, we know that they're going to play Notre Dame, and it's going to be a good game in the Fiesta Bowl, which isn't on our list to talk about tonight, Rick, so don't sneak that in there. But Rick Riggin, that one radio guy, we talk about the Pinstripe Bowl, IU, you know, and there again, another coach on the hot seat by the threat of his pants there at IU. And here's the thing. I think Coach Wilson has now secured his job. I mean, I would think certainly if he pulls a bowl win, that secures his job. But I guess I'll ask you the same question. I don't think that IU is – if we're going to base the decision on whether or not a team is worthy to be in a bowl game just based on wins and losses, they barely got there. And let's face it, they did not play. And whether it's the defense, the offense, or special teams, or everywhere in between, they did not play the kind of football that some of these other teams have played and have earned they're right into a bowl game. So again, I know it comes across that maybe I'm coming off hard on IU. I'm glad they're there. I'm excited to see them there, but I just think if they're going to do well and show the world something, if they're going to get better recruits, they're going to have to play better in the Big Ten, and they're going to have to beat better teams than what they've done this year so far. And certainly they have to beat Ohio State. Rick Riggin.
Yeah, and what's the problem? Yeah, I'm with Jordan. I think they do belong in a bowl game, definitely. But what I was going to say, what surprises me is that they got into the Pinstripe Bowl, which is kind of like a middle of the road bowl game. And I don't think they're kind of a middle of the road team, so to speak. I don't think it's a good matchup for IU Duke. I mean, Duke's big wins are against Georgia Tech, which at the beginning of the year, Georgia Tech was awesome, but then they lost Notre Dame. Notre Dame put the blueprint out on how to stop Georgia Tech's triple offense. But then they also put up 45 points against Virginia Tech. And Virginia Tech is a for real defense, or is supposed to be anyway. Both teams, I don't think, play any defense, but both have really good offenses. So I think it's going to be high scoring. I'll give Duke the edge in this game, but I don't know. I don't think it's a good matchup for IU.
Well, guys, we've got about 2 minutes left here, so certainly the story's still being told. So real quickly, Jordan, the intern, down at WIUX, real quickly, in about 30 seconds or less, what kind of final thoughts do you have for us, and where can people find you on social media if they so desire?
Yeah, my final thoughts are congrats to Jordan Howard being named 2015 All-Big Ten Offensive Team Player of the Year. Him along with Jason Spriggs, he was second team All Big Ten. Dan Feeney, he was first team All Big Ten. So you look at those guys on the offensive side of the ball, and they were fantastic. If you want to follow me, go ahead and follow me on social media, on Twitter at JMalleyWIUX. You can catch some of my features on YouTube as well. Just go ahead and scroll through my Twitter, and you'll be able to find that.
That one radio guy, Rick Riggin, my co-host, real quickly, and I know you can do this in about 15 or 20 seconds. Final thoughts.
I can.
Final thoughts, and where can people find you?
Well, final thoughts would be 14's not enough, 40 games is too many, and you can follow me on Twitter at Riggin_Rick. Also, our website, TheBalanceOnline.com.
Oh, absolutely, TheBalanceOnline.com. Now, that's why the guy's the co-host, because he throws in the most important website of all time. And certainly, Rick is worthy of one of the top 2015 news stories, and the fact that he joined the Balance team in 2015. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun watching the bowl games, and certainly we're going to have a lot of fun bringing all the action to you right here on Indiana Talk. Remember, after the first year, the Balance is going to be live on Indiana Talks as well. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Online talk radio station, Indiana Talks.